Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Today's an important day. The Lord told me to talk about this. I'm continuing my Renewing the Mind series, but he's spoken to me this morning about a couple things within this series to discuss specifically with the congregation. And amen. I believe the words will end right. I believe the angels are here to help that. In Jesus' name, the anointing is here to help the words land right. If you're at home and you're listening, the words will land right in your heart as much as they'll land right in the hearts of the people here. Praise God. We know that you're not lazy by being at home. We know that we're limited at this moment in time. But thank you for those that are making the effort to come on rotation. I know it pleases the Lord. Amen. Are we ready? Praise God. Ever been in those roller coasters where you get the thing down, right? And you hear it go click, 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 click. You know, you're a seatbelt, right? And the bigger the seatbelt, you know, you've made a bad decision. Once I had a 5-prong seatbelt, brother. There was this one, then there was another one, then there was one coming up between my legs. And I said to Cole, I said, "Dear God, what have we done? Why are there so many seatbelts?" You remember that, Cole, in California? I said, "Why are there so many seatbelts?" I learned why there were so many seatbelts. When they turn you upside down, roundabouts, every which way, and we are screaming our lungs out. Well, I don't want you to scream, but I want you to put your seatbelt on. Amen? And let's go to the word together. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I plead with you, I earnestly admonish you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship. I spent a lot of time talking about the body side two Sundays ago, the last time I was with you, and so I want to focus more on the mind today. But God wants our bodies to be presented to him as they would put a sacrifice on the altar, and that sacrifice would die. He says, I want you to be the sacrifice on the altar of God, but you're living. You're not dying. You're a living sacrifice. So you're going to present yourself to God with the way that you eat, the way that you treat your body, the way that you handle, you know, your appetites and your workout and your physical. God considers that a worship to him when we treat the shell right, because it's the only shell we've got to get through the rapture. Amen. And so we won't go on to that, but I shared that more a couple weeks ago. But he says, "Now I expect you to submit in your body." And then he says, "And do not be conformed," verse 2, "to this world." Do not be conformed to this world. The word conform means to fashion. It means to go into a mold. So the world has a mold that wants to stick you in it. And he says, do not be conformed. One way the world is trying is to say, you don't really know if you're a man or a woman. Well, that's a form, that's a mold that the world has created, a new demonic mold. And they're trying to stuff our young people into it. They're trying to pass laws that you can't tell people under 18 what's right and wrong, or you can go to jail. See, that's a mold. And we're not going to be conformed to that mold, because God's made you perfectly the way that he envisioned you before the foundation of the world. And your eternity, he will judge you as the gender when you were born. You will not stand before him as a different gender. You will stand before him, whether you're saved or not saved, as the gender in which he originally created you. Because God never makes mistakes. When people change their genders, they are saying, God made a mistake. God gave me this body and this plumbing, not to be vulgar, but for lack of a better word, he gave me this plumbing, but he's wrong. He made a mistake. I am really something different. It's dangerous to say that God makes mistakes, because God doesn't make mistakes. The devil is the one that tries to come and deceive and corrupt and pervert and counterfeit and then put lying thoughts to make you think that you're not who God made you and that you're not made in perfection and in his image. And so that's a mold. That's a fashioning. The devil and the world is trying, because the world has the spirit of the devil behind it, trying to force us into it. And he says, do not be molded. Do not be conformed to this world. That's just one. There's many. Think about all the works of the flesh. They're all molds. Think about all the false doctrine. They're all molds. Think about all the secular things out there. They're all trying to force us into a mold. You're going to think the way we think. And we have to stand up, and it's not always easy to stand against the flow. The salmon goes against the... But did you notice that poor salmon? He's working real hard to get up there, right? And then there's still a bear waiting for him to go... Wah! I mean, it's not even just the water that's against him. He's got bears. And then he's got Reverend Greg. Now, he's never caught one yet. But Reverend Greg's standing on the bank, and he's throwing out that line, and he's waiting to catch that poor salmon. He's got Greg. He's got bears. He's got water. He's got flow. He's got the tides against him. That salmon is working hard. Not all of them make it. But the ones that do, reproduce. And there's a lot of pressure against people that are going with God today. Yes. And there's a lot of bears, and there's a lot of anglers. Yes. It's a fancy way to say fishermen. Yes. And there's a lot of nets trying to catch you. But with the Holy Ghost, we can bypass the minefield and make it to the reproductive grounds, make it to the place where God is pleased with us and where we've honored the covenant. And as is, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, metamorphosized. That's the caterpillar to the butterfly, metamorphosis. That's that Greek word, metamorphosized. Totally transformed and renewed by the renewing of your minds. Did you notice that when your body is healed, you're not changed in your mind? The gifts of the Spirit bless you and help you, but they do not change the way you think. Worship services, feeling the presence of God, even in a service where the glory of God may show up in manifested form, as wonderful and as awesome as all that is, and we covet it, we hunger for it, we long for it, we're praying for it, we're going to have it. But the glory showing up won't change the way you think. The gifts showing up won't change the way you think. Seeing an arm grow out is amazing, and we will see it, but it's still not going to change the way you think Monday morning. The only thing that changes your thoughts is the Word. Not the internet. Not the little videos you keep clicking on. Well, did you hear about this? Did you know about that? That is going to put you in the world's mold. But the Word is the only pure source that is going to put you in God's mold. So he didn't say be transformed by the renewing of your mind with other things, but it's with the Word, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want the perfect will of God? You've got to renew your mind with the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't have it, so I'm looking it up right now. Can you give me a second? Sometimes the Lord will say this verse, but he doesn't tell me where it is. Have you ever done that? Praise God. I could ask Reverend Happy and he would know it, but that's why I don't want to ask him, because I'm not trying to give him any more attention. Ephesians 5. You're happy, Reverend Greg, because now I got somebody else to pick on. Ephesians 5:26. Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loves the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Who? The church. The subject material in verse 25 is the church. That's you. The church, that he might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of the Word. You wash your mind with the Word. The way you're transformed with the renewing of your mind is with God's Word, God's thoughts, God's agenda, God's mold. So that you can find the perfect will of God, so that you can know what God wants you to do. Because only in the perfect will is where the supply is where the safety is where the protection is where the increase is. Why won't my business work? Well, are you in the perfect will of God? You might be in the permissible where God is allowing you to do something, but that doesn't mean it's exactly what he planned for you before the foundation of the world. The angels work best in the perfect will. Safety and protection works best in the perfect will. Increase and abundance and favor works best in the perfect will. Health and strength of days works best in the perfect will. A lot of Christians, they die young because they're not in the perfect will. A lot of Christians die young because they won't forgive. And then discerning the Lord's body. But other Christians die young just because they refuse to get in the perfect will because it's going to cost them too much. Or it's going to cost them humility. When you're not in the perfect will and you have to change your whole life course, that takes humility to say, I've missed it. But I'm not going to do this. Praise God. When we planted that church in Alberta, not Alberta, Winnipeg, Manitoba, and doctor had warned me, don't do it. And I said, well, I don't have peace. What you're saying, doctor? And he smiled at me and he said, you'll figure it out. And 7 months later, after spending quite a bit of money, we figured it out that he was right the whole time, because I didn't have the skill of learning the inner witness the way he did. But of course, when I use the trump card, like I don't have a piece, what's he ever going to do? If he says anything about it, it looks like he's controlling me. So he had to back off and let me learn the hard way. But I learned very quickly that sometimes these ministers over me, they're not going to control you, but sometimes they know more than you. Sometimes they've been with God more than you, and they've prayed more than you, and they've waited more than you, and God's revealed because you have, they have an authority in your life. Not every little Tom, Dick, and Harry has that authority in my life, which is why God won't show people. Somebody walks up to you and says, God's given me a word for you. Let me tell you what you answer them. Who are you? Because if I don't know you, I don't receive your word. Don't ever let somebody lay hands on you unless you know them. Bible says, don't let people lay hands on you quickly. Lots of people come up to me and say, oh, over the years, I can't count how many, I got a word for you. I was going to say, keep your word to yourself. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, you're just full of pride and arrogance. No, I don't know you. And I don't receive words from people that I don't know. Because now, occasionally God can do something, but that's where the inner witness comes in. There has been maybe three occasions in 30 years. Maybe three. Where somebody has come up that I don't know. And they said, I have a word for you. And the Holy Ghost says, listen. When I have an overwhelming sense of the inner witness to listen, I will listen. But it's only happened less than a handful in 30 years. Why? God does not use strangers to communicate to you. He uses those that you would trust in a divine relationship with divine authority. That is why God will speak to me through Pastor Nancy and Randy and Jerry and others that I trust, that have relationship, that I have formed a trust factor with. So I can trust that. But people that I don't know, I'll be very careful who let talk to you and prophesy over you, and especially lay hands on you. They're not bad people, but God usually doesn't do it. That's out of divine order. Divine order is trust and relationship. Are you with me? I don't even know how I got off on that, but anyway. He's washing us with the water of the word. We're renewing our minds so that we would know the perfect will of God. We want to be in the perfect will of God. Amen. So let me share a few thoughts with you that I've jotted down, which I believe will help you. The mind, this is a very important statement. The mind is not renewed. The one way you can tell, Dan, if your mind is renewed or not. The mind is not renewed until it reaches your lifestyle. When your lifestyle's different, it shows that your mind has been renewed on that subject. If your lifestyle is doing the same old thing, you're afraid of the same old thing, you've got the same old addiction, you've got the same old way of talking, you may love Jesus, you're going to heaven, none of that's changed, but your mind in that area has not been renewed. Lifestyle proves renewal. So I look at people with lifestyle changes and I know they've renewed their mind. Because words don't prove renewal. You can say whatever you want, but the proof's in the eating of the pudding. It may look good, but you got to taste that thing. If your lifestyle has changed, your mind is renewed in that area. And your mind can be renewed in a negative way, because lifestyles can turn negative, or in a positive way, depending on what you're renewing your mind with. If you renew your mind with false things and demonic things and secular things and carnal things and pornography and world things and this from the world and that from the world, you will have a lifestyle of them. But if you renew your mind with the word and let it wash and pray in the Holy Ghost, let God speak to you and let God speak through your pastor and to you directly, then all of a sudden your lifestyle will reflect God's word. Are you with me? It's not parroting. By his stripes you're healed. Well, the little parrot goes, bye, take your hand. Bye, take your hand. You know, little parrot? Bye, take your hand. You can teach a parrot anything, Greg, apparently. I don't know. You got one. I don't. But you seem to teach your parrot everything that you want. And he just talks right back to you. Greg, you're beautiful. Greg, you're lovely. But when I come over, I teach the parrot some other words. You can parrot something. Anybody can make some blind confession. And it just be a mental thing. It's just something you learned. It's not something in your heart. It hasn't got down into your heart. When you're parroting something, that's not a renewal of the mind. Yeah. That's just words. Anybody can talk. Yeah. But your lifestyle shows if you really believe what you're talking. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and you have. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Praise God. So it's not parroting. It's the word finding its home in your spirit, in your heart. It's the word becoming a part of you. When the word is a part of you in a certain area, you can't separate that revelation from your spiritual DNA. It is a part of you. It is a part of who you are. When you believe in healing as a part of your spiritual DNA, it always works. The reason it doesn't work is because they're parroting. that's not revelation in their hearts. They haven't, it hasn't got deep within them, Jenny. It hasn't connected to their spiritual DNA. When it's a part of you, and it's not just a parrot, but it's a words out of your heart because they're a part of you. Yeah. That will change your lifestyle. It will show your mind is renewed, and it will have physical actions in your body. Your body's sick, you'll get healed. If your body's in torment, you'll get free. If your body's broke, you'll get wealthy. It's about the word getting a home in your heart. So you need so many things of the word in your heart. So what do? Do you take a little bit of everything? Or do you just focus on one thing and drill it down and get revelation and change your lifestyle and see the glory and then move to the next? I'll let you decide what you do. Because at some seasons of our life, we need a little bit of everything. But eventually, unless things drill down into our hearts and we really get this and it's truly a part of us, we're not really ever going to see the word washing our minds truly renewed and our bodies and our lifestyles reflective of that. So maybe it's sometimes the Holy Ghost leads you to read a lot of scripture, and that's fine. But other times, be aware, he'll lead you to focus on this subject. And he may hold you on that for a month. Just focus on that and give you different scriptures and different sermons and different things. And you're praying it out because you're getting it down into your spiritual DNA. You're washing your mind with the word so you think the way God thinks. Hallelujah. On any subject that you're facing. Praise God. Only the renewed mind can fully enjoy what God has provided for us. Praise God. Only the renewed mind gets into the perfect will of God. Praise God. Listen, the more you come to church, the more you, Pastor Nancy made a statement. She said, if you can just corral them, you can help them. Because the Bible calls us sheep, right? So, but she said once to the minister, she said, if you can just keep them around. They may not be perfect, and they might be even causing this nonsense and that nonsense and causing you havoc and wanting a counseling appointment all the time, and they won't be faithful. But if you can just keep them corralled, over time, the word will seep into their hearts. It will get into their hearts. If their hearts are pure. You can corral people for 30 years, Sandra, and they're not, their hearts aren't right. And the word just goes on hard ground. And the demon, Jesus said in Mark 4, steals it away before they even get to the parking lot. And 30 years later, there's no change because their heart was hard. But if their heart can just be open and they just stay put. I don't care how bad somebody's life is. We have seen people, Jenny. We've had prostitutes come here. We've had Satanists come to our church. We've had people that are the worst kind of people. I'm telling you, we've had some crazy people over 13 years come. And sometimes they change, and we've had homosexuals come. Sometimes they change, sometimes they don't. But I can guarantee you something. If their heart can be open, and if they just stay put. Those are the only two conditions. You don't have to serve. You don't even have to tithe. I mean, I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I'm saying that some people, they're not ready for that. But if they can just stay put with an open heart, the power of the word week after week will wash and wash and wash and wash. You ever got that hard car oil on your hands and it's under your nails and it's just, I mean, it's gooey and it's globby and it's very hard to get off? Have you noticed that when you go and you squirt that Dove or whatever you're doing with it, you know, you'll get some of it off, but it's still there and you have to wash it again and it's still there. And sometimes you have to get in the shower and sometimes it takes a day or two before it gets away from your fingernails because there's a constant washing. The deeper the filth, the longer the washing. It don't matter what people are going through. It doesn't matter how many mistakes they've made. It doesn't matter how rotten they are or how godly they are. If they'll just come and stay put with an open heart, not me, but the word under the anointing of an office will wash and wash and wash and wash. And a year later or 6 months later or whatever it is for every person's individual, you'll look at them and go, you couldn't be the same person. It's impossible that you're the same person. I look at Randy, there's not even the smell of an armed robber and an ex-con. There's not even the whiff of the ungodliness that he lived in. He is, the word has so washed every vestige of darkness out of him, and he is shining pure and clean. Unless he told you his testimony, you'd never guess. That's the power of the word changing us. If I can just get people, Blair, to show up and stay put with an open heart, anything can change. The problem, Greg, is that they won't stay put because the devil's working on them. The devil hates the word. And he knows that their heart's open. So he is working to offend them, working to confuse them, working to make them busy, working to move them out of the city so it's inconvenient to make the drive, working with somebody in the congregation to say something about their weight or about their clothes or about their teeth or about their skin or about their skin color or about whatever. He's working behind the scenes to disrupt that flow because he knows if your heart's soil is open and you'll just stay put, you will overcome him. Every time, 100% of the time. So he's working to get people out of that. He'll work to get you out of your prayer closet at home. He'll work to get you out of your study time at home. He'll make every inconvenience. He'll make sure that everything goes wrong, that you've had a bad day. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. Then tomorrow there's traffic. Well, I'll do it the next day. But your favorite program's on. And the next day you look in the mirror. I'm fat. Got to go to the gym. No, I'll do it tomorrow. Well, tomorrow's prayer meeting. I'll do it the next day. Oh, that's church. I'll do it the next day. Got to go up to Oasis. Do it. Oh, my friend called me. Got to go shopping. Do it. And every day there's something. He will rob you of your prayer time at home because he knows if you get into the word and prayer at home with an open heart and just stay put in the presence of God, you will change. And he'll rob you from church because he knows if under that anointing of an office, if you'll just stay put, the word will wash you and you'll be a different person. And it's not drive through. You're not. Some things change overnight, but most things take some time. Just corral them, Pastor Nancy says. Keep them close and you can change anybody. The word, I revise the statement, the word can change anybody. Put that screen up there by Dad Hagen. This is a famous quote that he made. The mind doesn't stay renewed any more than the hair stays combed. Now, this is a very important statement. I thought erroneously years ago that once you've renewed your mind on something, it's renewed forever. Like I got saved, so I'm saved forever. Right? I thought, well, if I've renewed my mind on something, I've always renewed my mind. Now I've passed that test. Now I go to the next one. And Dad Hagen taught us that the mind doesn't stay renewed any more than the hair stays combed. Now, if you're Reverend Greg, you don't have hair. So it doesn't really matter. Right? If you're junior, you don't have hair. Some of you don't have hair. Praise God. But for the rest of us that do have hair, you have to comb that hair. Reverend Dan, if you showed up this morning and you didn't comb your hair, all of us would know. Can you tell somebody that has dirty hair? You can. It looks wrong, it smells wrong, and its location is wrong. It's having a party, right? You can tell if somebody's combed their hair. You can tell if somebody's put on deodorant. You can tell if somebody's taken care of themselves. You can tell. Your mind is not automatically always renewed about a subject. You have to renew your mind on a regular basis about the basics. Just like you have to comb your hair every day. That's the basics. Brushing your teeth, having a bath is the basics. You have to renew your mind on honor to your spouse. That's the basics. You have to renew your mind on your love for Jesus. He's your first love. He comes first. That's the basics. But you got to renew your mind. You got to remind yourself of that. Right? You got to remind yourself that the tithing covenant is a covenant. I renew my mind to that because the devil's working to get me out of that. You got to remind yourself to show up to church. You got to remind yourself that the Bible says that nothing shall by any means hurt me. I am not going to be afraid. You got to remind yourself that I honor the office and the gift that God's given me. I'm not going to be offended. You got to remind and refresh your memory on these things because the mind will not stay renewed on that point. It will try to backslide. People don't realize this, Jenny. I know if I didn't realize it, and being a preacher, most people don't know that. They think if you've got it on one thing, it's safe forever. And it ain't. I've got to renew my honor for pastor every time I see her and even when I don't see her. Because the devil's right after that relationship. I've got to renew my love for the sheep regularly because I don't always feel love, but I renew my mind to that love. I've got to renew my honor for my wife, for my children. There's things about finances, about health. I need to constantly be washing my mind, renewing my mind again and again with the word to keep it combed. So don't think, don't get lazy because you got a revelation of something 4 years ago. That revelation's probably slipped a little bit away from you by now. Refresh yourself. Refresh yourself. Amen. Just like you can tell if somebody hasn't combed their hair, let me bring it to you, the real purpose of this statement. In the natural, we all comb our hair. It's easy. Blair says, I don't. You're just begging to get beaten up today, Blair. Just like we can tell if you haven't combed your hair, we can tell if you haven't renewed your mind. And let me tell you something. You may be saved. You may be on your way to heaven. But if your mind is not renewed on certain subjects, you will have the same struggles that your unsaved neighbors have. You can look at one Christian and a Sikh or a Muslim or a Satanist or a Baha'i or an agnostic or whoever. You can look at a Christian born again, spirit filled, on their way to heaven, and them, and they have the same marriage problems. They have the same sicknesses. They have the same bad marriage, the same bad children, the same ridiculous rebellion, the same pornography addictions, the same this problem, that problem, every other problem. You can look at them side by side and they look identical, but one's on their way to heaven and one's on their way to hell. And you say, my God, is that all there is to Christianity? Is that eternal? The eternal realm is ours? What about this realm? Oh no, the only thing that changes you from your unsaved coworker or neighbor or family member or friend is the renewed mind. The only thing that separates you is the way you think. The way you think and the way you speak will turn into the way you act. That is why renewing of the mind is the absolute critical foundation for every believer, because you're going to suffer the same harassments and problems. The devil will attack you the same way, probably more so, because he hates you more than he hates them, because you've got the Holy Ghost and they don't. But your life will look identical if you don't have a renewed mind. The way I know somebody is not renewed, I just look at their lifestyle. Because remember the first statement, a renewed mind is not just parroting, it gets into your lifestyle. I can look at somebody's lifestyle and the way they live and the way they talk and their health and their marriage, and I can tell, are they different to the unsaved neighbor? Yeah. If they are, it's not because they're better. It's just simply because the power of the word has started to wash them and they have yielded to it. You shouldn't look like your neighbor. You shouldn't have all the drama that the world has. You shouldn't have all the fear and the agoraphobia. I can't go outside. And claustrophobia, can't be in a closed space. And insect phobia, which isn't a word, but anyway, arachnophobia, is all the different phobias, right? It's afraid of crickets, afraid of spiders, afraid of snakes, afraid of cars, afraid of highways, afraid of flying. This, they've got scientific names for all of these fears. But the believer shouldn't look like that. A lot of believers do. If you are, don't beat yourself up. We're not attacking you. We're simply saying you're not renewed in that area. But that's a wonderful thing, because I'm not renewed in certain areas, and neither are you, and neither is Pastor Jenny. None of us are renewed in every area. We're on a journey. So if you're not renewed, just start renewing your mind in that area. Get the word in your mind. Get into prayer. Seek God. Read books about that area. And start to wash your mind. Wash your mind. And you'll start thinking God's thoughts. And you won't be conformed to the world, but you'll become metamorphosized in that area. You'll get the perfect will of God in that area. You'll think differently in that area. And then you won't look like the unsaved in that area. The closer you get to Jesus, the less you look like your unsaved neighbor. Yeah. Yeah. Listen to me. The closer you get to Jesus, you'll realize you have nothing in common with them. Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't mean that you can't talk to them. Yeah. Jesus talked to them and they loved him. Yeah. The sinners loved him. Yeah. That doesn't mean he was their best friend and having intimate fellowship with them, because he's got nothing in common with them. They're of this devil and he's of the Father. Yeah. But he can at least bridge the gap with love and say, let me tell you what God did for me. Let me tell you that. Now, Jesus wouldn't have said what God did for me because he's perfect, but that's what we would say. But Jesus would have said, let me tell you about my Father, how much he loves you. Yeah. Let me tell you that there's a way out of your problem. There's a way out of your fear. There's a way out of your crippledness. There's a way out of your mind and bondage. There's a way out of your fear. I've got the way out. I am the way out. Yeah. But we say to people, he is the way out. He got me out. He can get you out. Right. He got me out of the slammer. He can get you out of the slammer. You're in a prison of fear, but he can get you out. Yeah. See, that's our job, is to tell people we're not going to always be their best friend. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if they are, you better be careful. Yeah. And you better be careful. Because if the love of the world is in you, Jesus says the love of the Father is not there. So you got to be careful that they're not your best buddy. They're not the person that you're most wanting fellowship with. Yeah. You say, but then I'll be lonely because I don't connect with anybody in the local church. That's okay. Seasons of loneliness are good. Seasons. They'll make you grow up. Yeah. Stop being so codependent on everybody. And then you'll start to pray and say, Father, bring me godly friends. Bring me godly influences. And it's okay to be alone for a little while. I've gone through it many times. But then God brings somebody and they're like a Jonathan to you. And they're like, and you have that special relationship and that heartfelt connection and you're happy. But what I'm saying is you don't sacrifice your spirituality by becoming close, best, intimate friends with people that you technically have nothing in common with. You might like fishing, but everything else that they think is not. Now, you can find some sinners that don't have a renewed mind, but they think more in line with the word than other sinners. And so, of course, this is not a legalistic thing. This is a curve. And you can have some more fellowship with people that are more close in line with God. But what I'm saying is when you're born of the Spirit and they are not born of the Spirit, there's a fundamental difference. This is why I tell people you can't marry or date people that are not saved, because there's a fundamental difference. Your father is God, their father, Jesus. Jesus said it. Your father is Satan. There is a fundamental different family tree. How can you truly come into a marriage covenant with somebody that doesn't worship Jesus? And therefore, why would you date them and get a soul tie?
Yeah.
Well, they'll get saved afterward. Good luck with that. How's that working out for you 10 years in when you're coming to church alone? Oh, they'll promise you the world. Because they want you. And they're smarter than you. And they know that you're not getting it, that they're offering you the world, promising you everything. As soon as you lock that tie, that knot, put that ring on the finger, okay, now keep good in your promise. I got you now. I ain't coming. You can't make me come. How many times I've seen it with Jenny? You know how many times we've seen it? I've been counting 30 years. You know how many times I've seen it? Well, I've lost count. I used to keep count. But in the 600s, I just gave up. I said, I'm done. I can't. It's oppressing me to keep count. I just can't. All these people, they don't listen. They're not renewed in their mind on that subject. They may be renewed in their mind about tithing, but not about dating. They may be renewed in their mind about cancer, but not about looking at the opposite sex inappropriately. They may be renewed in their mind about prayer, but not about ministry of helps. They may be renewed in their mind about finances, but not skin color. So we got a whole group of people that are renewed in some areas and not renewed in the others. And we can't judge each other. We got to love each other. But we got to remind you, if your life does not look like Jesus, Psalm says, I'll be satisfied when I awake looking like you. That's what Psalm says. Psalm 138 or something. It's in the 30s. 130s. I will be satisfied when I awake with your likeness. I won't be satisfied till I look like Jesus. The more I hang out with Jesus, the more I look like him. Are you with me? I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm just trying to help you. Praise God. I got two more points and then we'll close. But I want to remind you, Romans 12:1-2 says, present your bodies and renew your minds. God is looking for a submitted body and a renewed mind. You want the will of God? Submit your body, renew your mind. You want to have a lifestyle change? Renew your mind. You want to look different than your sinner neighbor? Renew your mind. If you're not thinking about something and things aren't working out, don't beat yourself up. Don't let condemnation come. Just recognize, I don't think right in this area. I'm going to start washing my mind in this area. Praise God. It's not hard. I'm going to keep my hair combed in this area. Maybe I had revelation on it back then, but oh, it's lost to me now. I'm going to keep combing my hair. Praise God. Now, I'll say this point. There's lots, but we'll just get to it when we get to it. But this is a really important. This is really important. This is what I couldn't understand. This is what I did not get. This is what I got frustrated with Pastor Nancy about. This is what I saw in Russia for the first time. This is this principle here so set me free. Because I was convinced, James, that I know the devil's thoughts I have a right to say no to. Okay? And I know when it comes up on the inside, it's the Holy Ghost and it's God and it's right and it's good. But I was under the delusion for most of my Christian life. Really, until just about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, is when I finally saw it. So I'm fairly new in this, what I'm about to share with you. And most of you, I would say 98% of you have no idea what I'm talking about, so maybe you can get new in this too today. Because I was under the illusion to think, and really believed, Greg, without even realizing I believed it, that if a thought that I know is not from the devil, and I know it's not necessarily from my spirit or from God, just a thought in my mind. I'm a human, I have a brain. I can have thoughts, I can make thoughts, I can originate thoughts, original thought can come from me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not everything is from the devil or from God. You have a brain, you have a soul, you will create millions of thoughts in your life. But I was convinced. Well, I don't know why. I don't remember anybody ever teaching me this. I guess it's just the way I was formed. I don't know. Just my journey made me believe without a shadow of a doubt that if my mind comes in, if something is originated from me, I'm the author of a thought. A thought comes from me that I am obligated to think it. It's my thought. It came from me. So how could it be wrong? It's not from the devil. And it doesn't have to be necessarily from God, but it's from me. Right. But I'm a human. I'm normal. I have a normal range of emotions. If that thought comes to me, I should listen to it because I'm talking to myself. I'm thinking to myself. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
Until Pastor Nancy and Russia around that table started to teach me, and all the other ministers seemed to get it, which made me even more embarrassed. Especially Jay, because that little smirk on his face. No, I'm just kidding. He's very kind to me. And Pastor Ramos is very kind, but they're like, oh, let's wait for the Canadian to get it. We'll take another 7 hours, you know, because we talked for about 7 hours a day around the table privately. And she taught, that was my Bible school. I mean, she taught. I learned more from the table than I did from the sermons. It'll take another 7 hours for the Canadian to finally get it. But she keeps saying, but Pastor, you're in your mental arena. What does that mean, mental arena? It's my thought. The thought came from me. It didn't come from the devil. It came from me. I have a right to think it. I must think it. I should think it. But, Pastor, you're not obligated to think something simply because your mind came up with it. Until finally I saw it. My mind, if it's unrenewed in certain areas, is going to create thoughts that are not according to God's word. And it's called your flesh nature, your old man, the unrenewed, unregenerated part of you. Because when you got saved, your spirit got saved, not your soul or your body. Now, I knew that, but I just thought that if a thought come to me, I got to think it. So a thought would come to me of fear sometime. A thought would come to me of worry about money. Worry about this, worry about children, worry about this, lots of different things, especially fear. Thoughts would come. And I was, well, I'm thinking it because it's my thought. And then I realized I don't have to think it. My thought is coming from the unrenewed part of me. The unregenerate, it's not coming from my spirit. It's not coming from God, and it's not even coming from the devil. It's just coming from the unrenewed part of me. And just because a thought comes to me doesn't mean I'm obligated to think it. That was a watershed moment in my life because a whole lot of thoughts would come on a regular basis and I would think them thinking I have no choice in the matter. It comes from me. I know if it's from the devil, I rebuke it. But if it comes from me, it's my thought. Until I realize, hold on, let me weigh the thought that comes from my own soul against the word. If it doesn't line up, I can rebuke that thought the same way I rebuke the devil. So a thought would come with fear, and I'd say, no, you don't. I'm not talking to the devil. I'm talking to my own mind, my own thoughts. I don't have to think something just because my mind tells me to think it. When I know this might seem obvious to you, but how many of you take every thought that comes? Your mind will create thoughts that aren't godly. Your mind, not the devil, and certainly not the Holy Ghost, but your own mind that is not renewed in certain areas, thoughts will come to you. They'll just come to you. Now, they're not coming from the outside. They're actually coming from the inside. They're your thoughts. You're forming opinions. You're forming ideas. You're forming original thought about things. And you just think because I came up with it, I'm obligated to think it. And you don't. You weigh what comes, what you create. You weigh it against the word. It's the only truth. And if it doesn't line up with the word, you treat it like it came from the devil, even though it came from you, because it's the old man and it's the unrenewed man and it's the enemy of spirituality. And you have a right to say, no, I will not think that thought. When your mind races, you can tell it to stop. When your mind gets obsessed with fear, you can command it to stop. Now, if you keep thinking, let me teach you something. If you will yield to your thoughts that are not renewed, if you will yield to it over time, you'll open the door for the devil. Because the devil works with flesh. The door of flesh opens, it's the open door to the enemy. He cannot get in to a renewed mind. That is why he fights it so hard. Because if you renew your mind, he's lost the battle. He cannot get into a renewed mind. So if your mind is creating things which are fleshly and you yield to that, you'll just crack that door a little bit and he'll be right there. He's looking for that opportunity. But if you slam the door on your thoughts, slam the door. When that thought comes of fear of cancer, slam the door. I will not think that. Because if you meditate your thought, if you meditate on that thought of fear of sickness, you'll crack the door. Your flesh has cracked the door. Your fleshly thoughts didn't come from your spirit. It came from your soul. Your fleshly thoughts have opened that little tiny crack and the enemy will come in. He'll manipulate that crack and he'll spread that crack and he'll come in and he'll start bombarding you. Now you don't just have your flesh to crucify. Now you've got demons to deal with. And you didn't even have to deal with the demons if you just keep your mind right. Our enemy is not the devil. He has been defeated. Our enemy is us. Our enemy is our flesh. Our enemy is our unrenewed mind. That has not been defeated. The devil loves preachers going on about the devil this and the devil that and the devil there. He loves that preaching because he's got the gaze off the true problem. He has been defeated. But your flesh was not defeated at the cross. Your flesh is thriving and very alive. Your unrenewed thinking is very alive. He has been defeated. But your flesh cannot be defeated at the cross, although at the cross power was given to you to overcome your flesh. But you have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have to walk and constantly renew and put the flesh under and take up your cross and die to the flesh. You can't just claim that. It's a lifestyle process. I am not afraid of the devil. He's been defeated. I'm afraid of my own flesh. Because I know my flesh can kill me. My flesh can open wrong thoughts for him to take advantage and come after me. He'll obey me if I speak to him, but I have to speak to my flesh. I have to speak to my mind. No, you don't think that thought. Nobody, you're not going to do that. I don't know. I'm trying to help you. Just because your thought come up with some stupid thought don't mean you have to think it. You know what some people do? They'll turn on that stupid internet and they'll start watching videos. And every unrenewed thought that's in the world and every unrenewed thought that's in Christendom, they just pours into them like Niagara Falls. And what are they doing? Instead of washing their mind with the word, they're washing their mind with conspiracy theories. They're washing their mind with fear mongering. They're washing their mind with political debates. They're washing their mind with this thing about COVID and that thing about masks and this thing about the vaccine. They're washing their mind and then they wonder why they're carnal in their thinking. Then they wonder why they're afraid. Because wrong thoughts, them not guarding their thought life, crack the door. And now the devil has manipulated that crack and he's right there. And now there's a spirit of fear that's on them, but it couldn't have come if they watched their thought life. Watching your thought life is the enemy, not the devil. The devil's been defeated. Your thought life has not been defeated. It has to be crucified every day. I'm preaching better than you're. Some of you are saying amen. Some of you are looking at me like I've got the 7 heads and 10 horns like the guy in Revelations. Jenny, the devil is not my problem. He's not my problem. If you understand dominion, he's not your problem. He's not. If you understand dominion, he's not your problem. He'll show up, but he'll answer. He'll obey our words. My problem is my thought life. My problem is crucifying my flesh and bringing my thoughts captive. Remember 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4? Bringing every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. Oh my, I got to move on to my last thing, but read that with me, 2 Corinthians 10:5, because I know I could hear some of you saying, that Bible doesn't say that. I know the Bible, it don't say nothing like that. He making that up, that preacher. For the weapons, verse 4, 2 Corinthians 10 of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's mental strongholds. Casting down. Didn't say God's going to cast it down, it says you do.
Yeah. Right.
Casting down. Imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the word. These thoughts are against the word. Stop watching the stupid videos and watch the word. They're against the word. Bring them into captivity unto the obedience of the word. Jesus is the word made flesh. I bring my thoughts. Just because you come thought don't mean I have to think you. Now, Pastor doesn't, she knows I got that. Now, she never has to talk to me about that again. Now, she never has to say, Pastor, you're in your mental arena. She has to say that to me once. Because I'm not in that mental arena anymore. If a thought comes and it's not according to the word, I don't care if I came up with it. No. No. I don't thank you. Do you hear that creaking? No. In Jesus' name. You're gonna get sick. No. In Jesus' name. See, that's not the devil. That's my mind. My mind's my worst enemy, not the devil. The devil's been defeated. My mind has not been defeated. I defeat it every day by crucifying my flesh and by bringing every thought into subjection and bringing every thought captive under the obedience of the word. If it's not in the word, I don't think it. Now, I'm not perfect. There's other things in the word that are not in the word that I think, because I'm growing like you. But I'm saying the gold standard is, if it's not in the word, you don't think it. None of these conspiracy theories that all you ridiculous people are listening to are in the word. None of them. I have the spirit of truth, not the spirit of conspiracy. The best thing you can do is stop looking at that internet. I'm not trying to make you a monk and a hermit. What I'm saying is, watch what you put in your thought life. Watch what you watch and what you read and what you hear and what you meditate on. Because some of you are so far beyond, you're into the dregs of doubt and unbelief when it comes to this COVID nonsense. And that's because you won't go with the word. Now, it's 11:48, I have 12 minutes. It will be 12 minutes of glory or 12 minutes of terror, depending on how you want to look at it. Okay? But I was praying this morning, and I heard the Holy Ghost say these words. Address it. I know what he means. He didn't even tell me what he means, because he'd been talking to me about it for 3 days. Address it. I said, Lord, it's a divisive issue. Maybe I shouldn't address it. He already took into account the divisiveness of it. He said nobody's talking to them but their pastor. All these other voices are talking to them, but they need their pastor's voice. I'm going to speak through you, he said. And I'm not joking with you. I'm serious. I don't normally get ornery, but, well, maybe I do, but anyway. When he told me that, two angels came. One stood on my left and one stood on my right. And I heard the Lord say, these two angels will help you when you speak about it, when you address it. They'll help it land right in the people. And they'll give help. They'll help influence you according to the word. Amen. The angels assist the Holy Ghost. They're not in competition with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost comes from within. Angels are from without. But those two angels came and stood beside me, and the Lord said, "They're here to have that utterance land right, so that people don't get offended and leave the church about what I'm about to say in the next 11 minutes." Now, I said, "Lord, how do I say it?" And He said, "Ask them if they love you." So, do you love me? Even if you don't, just say you do. Make me feel good. Do you love this church?
Yes.
If you love the church, that would imply that you're praying for the church, because if you don't pray for the church, you don't love the church. Did you read with me on Wednesday night, Ephesians chapter 5? Pray for me, Paul said, that I may have utterance and I may speak it boldly as I ought to speak.
Yes, sir.
So if you love me and if you love the church and if you're praying for the church, you should be, according to Ephesians 5, be praying for utterance, the right words, and boldness to say the right words. Okay. So then, therefore, let me say it this way. People that pray for bold utterance don't get offended by bold utterance. So anybody that's left this church offended means they weren't praying. Which means they're carnal, which means not my fault anyway. Are you with me? So he said to me, address it. And he said, address about the vaccines. So I'm just going to tell you my opinion, because there's a lot of people in confusion. There's a lot of confusion. Are you with me?
Yes.
So I want you to know this. I fundamentally and diametrically am opposed to the government's view to mandate vaccines.
Yes.
It is the individual right of every person as an individual to decide what they're going to do. And for them to now bar you from society, I understand their reasons, but I'm diametrically opposed to that. Because I feel like we're getting too close to a communistic society. We're getting too close where they can just tell you whatever they want to do. The jeweler that made my ring, we're making new rings for each other on our 20th anniversary in October. He's from Poland, and his parents were in the Nazi regime. And they left that regime because they saw how systematically government can become too powerful. And he said, it's not right. He said, the same thing I'm seeing here, I saw there. He said, people don't realize that the frog is being boiled in water slowly.
Yes.
And it doesn't. They don't realize their rights are being stripped.
Yes.
So I want to say that on the record. I am not for big government, and I'm not for government controlling people. Can I just say that first? Because I don't want people to think that I'm a puppet or a proxy for all this stuff. But the reality remains, whether we agree with it or not, that government is big. They have a big club. A big stick. And they are dictating rules. So you have to now determine if the rules that they're dictating violates the word of God or not. If it violates the word of God, we stand up and we say, bring your worst. We will not move. But if it doesn't violate the word of God, then you still have a choice. You can submit to them and continue in normal life, or you can resist them and not continue in normal life. Because if it's not against the word, it's not technically our job to withstand them. Although you may have a personal opinion that wants to withstand them, and I would support you. But that doesn't mean that I will. Because I'm looking for what is against the word, not just what we don't like the feeling of.
Yeah, that's good.
And a vaccine is not against the word. And see, if you'll just keep things simple, things will become simple. It's not against the word. There's no scripture that is against the word. So what they're asking you to do is not necessary according to the word, but it's not contrary to the word. Are you with me? I'm just trying to bring balance, because there's a lot of talk. There's a lot of voices. And maybe the voice you need is the voice of the Holy Ghost and the word and your pastor, instead of every person on the YouTube channel. Now, let me have established that fact. I'm not for that, but it is what it is, and it's not against the word. So our standing is sure. No matter what decision you make, it's not against the word. Now, you listen carefully, and those of you that are home, listen. You do not need the vaccine to be safe from COVID. If your faith in the word and the blood is at a certain level. If. And not everybody qualifies for that if. Because some believers, their faith is not there yet. But you do not need it to be safe. If you believe the word. On the other hand, listen carefully now, please. The vaccine cannot harm you if you have faith in the word and the blood. So the way the Holy Ghost spoke it to me was this. You don't need it, son, but it can't hurt you, son. Are you listening? You don't need it, but it can't hurt you. So make the decision by the inward witness based on your individual lifestyle as to what you need access to in society, because they're shutting it down. If you don't have it, you can't go to restaurants September 20th or whatever it is. They're doing all this stuff now where they're going to limit you from places. And I pray to God they don't limit the local church. I don't know what they're going to do. I trust that they're going to keep religious freedoms intact, because it would be a sad day if people say that you can't come to church without a vaccine. I read a newspaper article they showed me in California, Pastor Jay showed me, of this pastor in Atlanta, Georgia, of a Baptist church, and he sent a missive out to his whole church and said, you're not welcome to come unless you have a vaccine. Oh, wow. Enjoy our online worship and a whole bunch of other stuff. Just fear-mongering. I'll never do that as long as I have breath in my lungs. I hope they never force that, because we have to abide. All I'm simply saying to you is you will limit your ability to function normally in society, and you will limit your ability to travel if you need to travel, which you may not need to, if you don't get the vaccine. You don't need it to be safe if you believe the word, and it cannot hurt you if you believe the word. So you don't need it, but it can't hurt you. So now you have to decide, is it better to get it? Since you don't need it, but it can't hurt you, is it better to get it or better not to get it? Oh, everyone's going to make their individual decision. And there's not going to be any judgment from me or the staff, whatever decision you make. But I want you to believe the word. I want you to renew your mind with the word. That's all I care about. If you decide, Pastor, listen, I take Tylenol, my faith's not high enough yet. I'm going to take the vaccine, my faith's not high enough. No problem. And if you say, Pastor, no, I'm not going to take it because my faith's high enough. No problem. And if you take it, just take it with faith. Are you with me? There's no judgment whatsoever. I'm a little different. No, I shouldn't have said that, because I know some of you are some. Yeah, you are different. But I went into India And they called me. And they said, we have just heli-vacked out Youth with a Mission doctors. They came under the Youth with a Mission because it's charity. They could get in the country easier. Into the central part of Nagpur, 6 hours from civilization. Never seen a white human being before. I was the first white person to ever go to those villages. And they heli-vacked them out. They had the hazmat suits on because of the malaria outbreak. I mean, they had hazmat suits on. And somehow the mosquitoes were getting through the hazmat suits. And the doctors were getting sick with malaria. And they were heli-vacking them out in an emergency. It was an emergency shutdown. And they had asked me to come and preach. And I was 20 years old. And I was about to cancel it to use wisdom. And I heard the voice of the Lord say, am I with you? And I said, yes, sir. He said, then go. Now, I had a word from God. I had a word from God that makes the difference. Because sometimes he'll say, don't. And other times he'll say, go. And I went into the malaria infested zone. I didn't even have the medication with me because my malaria pills got switched with my water purification pills. So I was taking water purification pills instead of malaria pills and realized halfway through. There is no protection. There are mosquitoes everywhere. I'm going village to village, 6 villages a day at times, and there are hundreds of people dying. It was serious. My life was in danger. But I had a revelation of something. I am with God. And God is with me. And his blood is a barrier that covers me. And no sickness and no trauma and no disease and no mosquito and no bite can pierce that bloodline. And I walk through waves of death untouched. So don't tell me about COVID. Because I've overcome something far greater. And I believe the blood more than most human beings do. And I know when the blood is on me, nothing can touch me. I understand dominion when it comes to the blood. So it is beyond my comprehension how a blood-washed believer can be afraid of a vaccine or of a virus. We have been made kings in the earth. It is only the mind washed with conspiracies, washed with fear, washed with YouTube, because they know the world more than they know the word. And somebody said to me recently, I know too much. And I didn't answer them, but I heard the Holy Ghost roar on the inside of me. That's right, son. They know too much of the world and not enough of my word. That's how he said it to me. They know too much of the world and what their opinions are and not enough of my word. They sure know too much, but it's of the wrong thing. That's why their mind is filled with fear. I don't care if you take the vaccine. Don't. I don't give a rip what you do. It's your life. I don't control you. I'm simply saying you don't need it to be safe. But if you take it, it has not the right to hurt you. So do what seems good to you. God told me you will not limit your call because of a vaccine. Take it and take it in faith. And he said something to me. I'm almost close with 1 minute, but I got to finish this. He took me to the scriptures on the way down to the vaccine place. He said, I want to show you something. I said, Lord, I would appreciate you showing me. I'm not afraid. I can go into malaria zones. I'm not worried about COVID, man. But I said, Lord, if you want to talk to me, then go ahead. And he took me to the scripture. And I want to read it to you because it's very important. He took me to 2 scriptures. I'll tell you the first one in order that he gave it to me. Mark chapter 16. But I saw something I've never seen before in Mark 16. By revelation knowledge. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, verse 15, to every creature. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved, neither believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Believe, believe, those that have faith. You don't have faith, these signs aren't yours. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. That's right. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Listen to me. There are 5 statements made. Yeah. That percentage means 20% is each statement.
Yes.
The only category that God doubled up.
Yeah.
Double up Thursdays with Pastor Nancy.
Yeah.
The only category he doubled up. 40% of these statements is about deadly items.
Yeah. That's right.
He took my attention to that. He said, did you notice I doubled up on that? I said, yes. He said, you know why? I said, no. He said, because I knew that society was going to face this. He said, you'll be plagues, wars, and rumors of wars. Plagues, plagues, plagues as viruses. Plagues is what we're seeing. We're having plagues. He said, I knew society was going to face it, so I doubled up on it. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Now he said, what does that say, son? He's talking, I never heard anybody preach this, but I heard the Holy Ghost tell me this. He said, it says if you drink. He said, what does that mean? He said, if you ingest by mouth. That means anything viral in the air, or that means anything liquid, or anything of physical food. If it goes into your mouth, it shall not hurt you. So even if something's airborne, it cannot hurt you. And then he says, now watch the next thing. If you take up serpents. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, why do you think I use the word serpents and not needles? He said, because in that day there were no needles. But in every generation there are snakes. He said, how does a snake get you? He said, when poison is injected into the skin, it shall not hurt you. When poison is ingested through the mouth, the nose, the ears, any of those cavities, it shall not hurt you. And he spoke to me as loud as I'm talking to you. He said, a snake is the same as a needle. If there is something in that, if the conspiracies be true, it matters not. It matters not. Because anything injected into my skin, that is any form of darkness or weakness or sickness or anything, it shall not hurt me if I believe. God can raise the dead, but he can't take care of something in your bloodstream. He can heal cancer of the blood, but he can't heal something in a vaccine, should it be true? Which it might not even be true. And then he took me to Luke 10, 19. You know this one, but he took me there, Luke 10, 19. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil, poison, mind control, any kind of virus, any kind of malady is of the devil's power. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. Do you understand? If you have faith, nothing can hurt you. If you don't have faith, things can hurt you. So if I were you, if you don't have faith, I wouldn't take the vaccine if I were you. Now you're open to whatever is in there. But you don't need it to be safe. But if you believe, it can't hurt you. So you don't need it, but it can't hurt you. You don't need it, but it can't hurt you. So decide to take it or don't take it. I really don't care. Just stop causing confusion. Stop causing division in this church. Stop calling people, because some people in this church are calling each other and yapping about this and yapping about that. Stop it. Amen. You are causing division. Yeah. Right. Take it, don't take it. I don't care. It's your business, but keep your business to yourself. Yeah. No, none of us want to hear what your business is. Yeah. You don't need it, but it can't hurt you. Yeah. That's how he said it to me. You don't need it, son, but it can't hurt you. Yeah. But if you're going to travel and preach, you're not going to be able to quarantine for 2 weeks every time you go, because it's going to hurt the local church. And if you don't take it, you can't travel. If you decide not to quarantine, you're going to go to prison. That's going to hurt the local church. And if you say, well, I don't want to quarantine and I don't want to go to prison, that means I can't go and preach the gospel in other countries. So for me, I have no choice. And that lady, that little Filipino nurse, she was like, she said, you're so happy. She said, usually people are really have to comfort them. I said, you don't know who I am, sister. And I don't mean to call people sister, but sometimes it pops out. I mean, I said, excuse me, nurse. She said, are you a Christian? I said, I'm not a Christian. I'm a pastor. I have dominion. She goes, oh, pray for me. I'm surrounded by people with fear all day long. She did. She said, pray for me, pastor. I mean, but the supervisor's walking around. I don't lay hands on her and pray for her. I'd never met her before. I just said, Lord, thank you that you give her strength in this fearmonger place. She said, it's so nice to see somebody happy and somebody unafraid. I said, give me a double dose if you want, sister. I don't care. Nothing shall by any means hurt me.
That's right. Nothing.
And I woke up in the middle of the night with the slightest sense of muscle cramp, muscle pain. And I stood right up in bed. I could felt it. And those thoughts come. See, an unrenewed mind will welcome those thoughts. And I said, no, you don't. I spoke to the thought. And then I said, body, I command you in Jesus' name. Be normal. And I went back to sleep, never felt another thing. That's called dominion. That's called not being afraid. I don't care if you take it. Don't leave the church and don't get defensive and whatever. Do whatever you're going to do, but stay in unity. You know what the devil would like? He'd like this one subject, mass, COVID, vaccine. He'd like it to become so divisive that people get offended and leave. And then the purpose of the Glory Center is stunted because of a silly thing like this. So do what you want. Don't do what you want. You have my full support no matter what you do. But I'm telling you, you don't need it if you believe in faith. And it can't hurt you if you believe in faith. So just stay with the word. And by the way, somebody said to me, it is the mark of the beast. So I just have one scripture for you before I close. It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 6. No, because some people really are just really into fear. I want you to know something. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. This is talking about the son of perdition or the Antichrist. Who opposes and exalts himself so proudly and instantly against and over all that is called God and or all that is worshipped. Taking his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming that he himself is God. Do not you recollect that when I was still with you, Paul said, I told you about these things? Now watch verse 6. And now you know what is restraining him from being revealed at this time. It is so that he may be manifested and revealed in their right and appointed time. But the mystery of lawlessness, that hidden principle of rebellion against constituted authority, is already at work in the world. But it is being restrained. And only until he who restrains it is taken away. The church and the Holy Ghost is the restraining power of God in this world. Let me tell you, I'm giving you scripture. Forget what you see on the internet. The Antichrist, you will never know who he is. He will not be revealed until we are gone, because his power cannot overtake this planet until the church, which is the restraining force by the Holy Ghost, gets out of the way. You know the only time you're going to see him, according to scripture, we're going to be on white horses. We're going to come with Jesus. And the Bible says that he is destroyed. You keep reading it. He is destroyed by the word of his mouth, the breath of his mouth, and by the dazzling brightness of his glory. The first time you're going to see him is when Jesus is burning him to death. His skin melts off his face. That's the only time you're going to see that rascal, is when he looks at Jesus and the word pierces him and he melts at the glory. Physically, he melts at the glory of God. That's the only time you're going to see the Antichrist. So stop thinking about him. Stop worrying about him. He's not around our life and he never will be. And if you would actually read the Bible instead of your YouTube, you would realize that the mark of the beast is given during the second half of the tribulation. And listen to me, listen to me. They make a statue like Nebuchadnezzar made. That statue is a form of the Antichrist, exactly like Nebuchadnezzar did. And a demon spirit by the false prophet enters the statue and causes the statue to come alive. You say such things have never occurred. Well, you're ignorant. You don't know. Because David Hogan told me that when he was in Mexico, the witch doctors put a spell on a tree and a demon spirit entered the tree and the tree began to talk. The tree began to move its branches like arms. The tree began to walk around by the power of witchcraft. It is alive. It has always been here. It's nothing new. Just because you don't know it doesn't mean it's not new. The power of the devil will fill that statue. That statue, which is made by man's hands, is going to breathe and speak and walk. People that bow to that statue in reverential awe are saying, I accept the Antichrist as my Savior. I accept the walking statue as my God, and I accept the false prophet as my pastor, so to speak. Yeah. And when you do that, that bowing of the knee and the worship to that statue, they mark you with a mark that shows you are a disciple of the Antichrist. Right. That mark in your right hand or forehead is the mark of the beast. And anyone that takes that is damned to an eternal realm in hell. There is no repentance. But until the Antichrist is revealed, and until the statue comes to life, and until you bow before the statue and swear allegiance to the Antichrist, there is no mark of the beast. It's the most asinine thing I've ever heard, Greg. It's YouTubers that want viewers so that they can make money. I have the vaccine. I don't have the mark. It's ridiculous, Jenny. You know what it is? They're watching YouTube instead of the Word. People know more of the world than they do the Word. That's why there's no faith. Meditate therein. Let the book of this law not depart from your mouth. But meditate. Didn't say meditate on the internet. It said meditate day and night. Day and night. Day and night. And obey what you read. And you'll prosper and have good success. He said address it. So I've done that. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I don't want any mean letters. So if you're going to write a mean letter, just keep it to yourself. Because I'm not reading it. Opinionated people are offended people. You hear me? I've got my opinion. I don't have opinions. I have the Word. The Word is my opinion. The Word tells me, I believe it. I'm just that simple. I'm just a simple boy. If the Word tells me, I believe it. The Word tells me that I can go into malaria zone, I went to the, I'm fine. The Word tells me, God says, you don't need it, but it can't hurt you. Take it because you can't travel without it. Yes, sir. Jab me. Jab me again, and if you want to do it again, do it as many times as you want. Just keep jabbing me, because nothing shall by any means hurt me. I don't have opinions, I have the Word. Some of you are so opinionated. You are stumbling in your Christian walk because of your opinions about this, that, and the other thing. Stay with the Word, and you're safe. And turn off the stupid YouTube channel. Never before, Blair, have we seen Christians influenced by society the way we are today. Because back then, they just had their friends, they had a few unsaved co-workers, and they had their unsaved family member, and that's it. Now you don't only got all that, but you've got every cesspool of filth pouring into you from that wonderful invention called the internet, which gets the gospel out, but also gets fear in. So be careful what you watch. Be careful what you read. He said to me, that's right, they know too much. They know more of the world than my Word. If you knew the Word, you'd be unafraid. If you knew the Word, this wouldn't even be a thought to you. If you knew the Word, vaccine passports are a passing, whatever, I don't care. I'm moving on with my call. I don't really, who cares? I don't care. The fact that you don't care, the fact that you care so much means your mind's not renewed with the Word. Did I ruin anything, Jenny? Father, I thank you for the renewing of the mind. We don't want our lives to look like our sinner neighbors. We don't want to just parrot. We want to have lifestyle changes. Father, we don't want to just take any thought that our mind throws at us. We have a right to say, no, I will think thoughts according to the Word. We have a right to cast down vain imaginations. We have a right, Father, to stay with your Word more than the world. And I pray that this precious congregation would guard themselves, for we are in perilous times. While we do not agree with what the government is doing, Father, we at this point cannot turn the tide yet. It's going to take prayer and it's going to take time. But Father, we're not going to let fear, we're not going to let conspiracies, we're not going to even let the government hinder us from living godly, peaceable lives in all honesty. Father, we're going to continue on with the Word. And if they receive me as their pastor, then let them receive my Word. And the Word of God that came to me was anything that you ingest through your mouth, or your face, your nasal cavities, and anything you ingest through your skin, injected, bitten, it shall not hurt you. This is the dominion of the Christian. This separates me from the sinner. I've been given power in that name. No devil, no virus, no conspiracy can stop me. The power of God is greater in Jesus' name. Lord, let this strength come into them. Let this renewed mind come into them. Let fear go and let faith come. And let us live our lives unaffected by the world system. in Jesus' name. And Father, let no one depart from this church prematurely, in offense, in conspiracy, in anger, in hurt, because of these divisive issues. Let them hear my heart. They can do whatever they want. I am behind them 100%. But I want them to do whatever they do in faith and not fear and not cause division and disunity by talking to each other, contrary to what I'm saying as the pastor. Because, Lord, I'm standing with your word. And your word is going to overcome in every area of my life and every area of their life. So I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, you told me to address it. And I've done exactly what you've asked. I trust that you'll make up the difference, that it will land right, and that the anointing will help them renew their minds. I'm not going to bring it up again. I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm done with this. Lord, I'm done with it. I'm not bringing it up again. I've said my piece according to the instruction of the Spirit of God. And I thank you, the Lord, you deal with them now privately from this moment forward. In Jesus' name.